ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
अर्जुन उवाच, ये शास्त्रविदमुत्सृज यजन्ते शरीयान्विता तेषां निष्ठा तुका कृष्ण सत्वम् आहो रजस्तमः. अर्जुन इन्क्वायर्ड, ओ कृष्ण, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture, but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? Purport. In the 4th chapter, 39th verse, it is said that a person faithful to a particular type of worship gradually becomes elevated to the stage of knowledge and attains the highest perfectional stage of peace and prosperity. In the 16th chapter, it is concluded that one who does not follow the principles laid down in the scriptures is called an asura, demon, and one who follows the scriptural injunctions faithfully is called a deva, or demigod. Now, if one, with faith, follows some rules which are not mentioned in the scriptural injunctions, what is his position? This doubt of Arjuna's is to be cleared by Krishna. Are those who create some sort of god by selecting a human being and placing their faith in him worshipping in goodness, passion, or ignorance? Do such persons attain the perfectional stage of life? Is it possible for them to be situated in real knowledge and elevate themselves to the highest perfectional stage? Do those who do not follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures, but who have faith in something and worship gods and demigods and men, attain success in their efforts? Arjuna is putting these questions to Krishna. Text 2. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Trivida bhavati shraddha dehinam sa subhavaja satviki rajasi chaiva tamasi cheti tam shrinu. The Supreme Personality of God had said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds, in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about this. Purport. Those who know the rules and regulations of the scriptures, but out of laziness or indolence give up following these rules and regulations, are governed by the modes of material nature. According to their previous activities in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, they acquire a nature which is of a specific quality. The association of the living entity with the different modes of nature has been going on perpetually. Since the living entity is in contact with material nature, he acquires different types of mentality according to his association with the material modes. But this nature can be changed if one associates with the bona fide spiritual master and abides by his rules and the scriptures. Gradually, one can change his position from ignorance to goodness or from passion to goodness. The conclusion is that blind faith in a particular mode of nature cannot help a person become elevated to the perfectional stage. One has to consider things carefully with intelligence in the association of a bona fide spiritual master. Thus, one can change his position to a higher mode of nature. One more verse. Sattvanurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata shraddhamayo yam purusho yo yat shraddha sa eva saha. O son of Bharata, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. Purport. Everyone has a particular type of faith, regardless of what he is. But his faith is considered good, passionate, or ignorant according to the nature he has acquired. Thus, according to his particular type of faith, one associates with certain persons. Now, the real fact is that every living being, as is stated in the 15th chapter, is originally a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one is originally transcendental to all the modes of material nature. But when one forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and comes into contact with the material nature and conditional life, he generates his own position by association with the different varieties of material nature. The resultant artificial faith and existence are only material. Although one may be conducted by some impression or some conception of life, originally he is nirguna or transcendental. Therefore, one has to become cleansed of the material contamination that he has acquired in order to regain his relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is the only path back without fear, Krishna consciousness. If one is situated in Krishna consciousness, then that path is guaranteed for his elevation to the perfectional stage. If one does not take to this path of self-realization, then he is surely to be conducted by the influence of the modes of nature. The word Shraddha or faith is very significant in this verse. Shraddha or faith originally comes out of the mode of goodness. One's faith may be in a demigod or some created god or some mental concoction. One's strong faith is supposed to be productive of works of material goodness. But in material conditional life, no works are completely purified. They are mixed. They are not in pure goodness. Pure goodness is transcendental. In purified goodness, one can understand the real nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As long as one's faith is not completely in purified goodness, the faith is subject to contamination by any of the modes of material nature. The contaminated modes of nature expand to the heart. Therefore, according to the position of the heart in contact with a particular mode of material nature, one's faith is established. It should be understood that if one's heart is in the mode of goodness, his faith is also in the mode of goodness. And if his heart is in the mode of darkness, illusion, his faith is also thus contaminated. Thus we find different types of faith in this world, and there are different types of religions due to different types of faith. The real principle of religious faith is situated in the mode of pure goodness. But because the heart is tainted, we find different types of religious principles. Thus, according to different types of faith, there are different kinds of worship. And just before we chant our chapter, let's see what we heard so far. What did you hear?
One can understand the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead when they're in the purified mode of goodness.
Nice.
There is so many kinds of faith and religious principles according to a person's nature, under the modes of material nature. That's why we're seeing so many religions, so many different opinions and feelings because of the nature we've acquired. And I'm also under the mode of nature. Who's completely free from the mode of nature is situated in pure goodness. He attains love for Krishna. Otherwise, you don't. You're not transcendentally situated. Therefore, your faith becomes colored by a particular mode. Even if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you may be feeling, you may be acting according to the modes of the material nature. So I have to become free from the mode of nature, as Bhagavad Gita says, then I will achieve pure devotional service, not otherwise.
Could Mukharvind get me Sapvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam, please. Go ahead.
I like the point that Prabhupada was making, that whatever mode your heart is in, then that's the mode your faith will be in. So if you have your heart is in the mode of passion, or the mode of darkness, he said also, mode of darkness, and then you'll be, your faith will be in that mode also.
The modes of nature expand to the heart. Nice. What did you hear over here?
I wanted to ask a question. Yes. About that point, because it also struck me. We just had a friend come to Vrindavan a few weeks ago, and he's what most of us would probably characterize as one of the good Christians, like a genuine bhakta who came up in faith with Christ. But he was still having bad habits like meat eating and a little bit of intoxication, but generally a very good-hearted person. And then when he came to Vrindavan, he really absorbed himself in service. He was taking care of the cows and chanting and dancing in front of the deities, no problem. So it was striking to me how those external things were there, but immediately he was able to take up and really connect to the atmosphere of the Holy Dham. So my question is, how much, as it said, the external modes move into the heart, how much can we look at the intention of someone versus the externals that they're living in for determining where they're situated?
Well, it's certainly indicative. As mentioned, the heart, Ramananda Roy says, the heart is the driver, the body's the chariot, and we go in the direction that the heart dictates. There are situations where people have a start in Krishna consciousness and still have momentum from their previous habits, and it takes some time to overcome those. Obviously, the process of anartha nivritti takes some time. And so someone may have developed faith in hearing and chanting, as the verse jata shradama katasu nirvina sarvakarma su. Veda dukat makankamams prityagye pyanishvara. Krishna says to Uddhava that there's a point at which faith is already awakened in the process of Krishna consciousness, particularly hearing and chanting. Jata shraddha, it's the faith is born. Makatasu, and hearing about me. Nirvina sarvakarmasu, one also is disgusted with material activity. Veda dukat makankamams, he has knowledge even that all material activities lead to misery. Pratyage pyanishvara, but he doesn't have the power to give up material activities yet. So Krishna goes on in the second part of the verse to say that one should continue in the process, happily knowing that one will be successful as one does so, and feels somewhat repentant, or that one can't fully take to the process. There is an interim period. What did y'all hear? This side of the aisle. From our Japanese delegation.
Shraddha wa toku no yoshiki kara kuru, dakedo junsui na toku no yoshiki dewa nai, tteiu no ga kokoro ni inshou ni nokorimashita.
She heard that Shraddha, the real Shraddha comes from the pure modes of goodness.
Okay, well that's a good segue, because there's an important verse from the Bhagavatam from the fourth canto, third chapter, 23rd verse. This is Lord Shiva speaking. Satvam vishudam vasudeva shabditam yad iyate tatra puman upavrataha sadve cha tasmin bhagavan vasudevo yad hoksujo me namasa vidhiyate. I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudeva in pure Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudeva, is revealed without any covering. Purport. The living entity is constitutionally pure. Asango hyayam purushaha. In the Vedic literature, it is said that the soul is always pure and uncontaminated by material attachment. The identification of the body with the soul is due to misunderstanding. As soon as one is fully Krishna conscious, it is to be understood that one is in his pure original constitutional position. This state of existence is called Shuddha Sattva, which means that it is transcendental to the material qualities. Since this Shuddha Sattva existence is under the direct action of the internal potency, in this state the activities of material consciousness stop. For example, when iron is put into fire, it becomes warm, and when red hot, although it is iron, it acts like fire. Similarly, when copper is surcharged with electricity, its action as copper stops, it acts as electricity. Bhagavad Gita 14.26 also confirms that anyone who engages in unadulterated devotional service to the Lord is at once elevated to the position of pure Brahman. Mamjayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kulpate. Therefore, Shuddha Sattva, as described in this verse, is the transcendental position, which is technically called Vasudev. Vasudev is also the name of the person from whom Krishna appears. This verse explains that the pure state is called Vasudev because in that state, Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is revealed without any covering. To execute unadulterated devotional service, therefore, one must follow the rules and regulations of devotional service without desire to gain material profit by fruit of activities or mental speculation. In pure devotional service, one simply serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a matter of duty, without reason, and without being impeded by material conditions. That is called Shuddha Sattva, or Vasudev, because in that stage, the Supreme Person, Krishna, is revealed in the heart of the devotee. Srila Jiva Goswami has very nicely described this Vasudev, or Shuddha Sattva, in his Bhagavat Sandarbha. He explains that Ashtotarashata 108 is added to the name of the spiritual master to indicate one who is situated in Shuddha Sattva, or in the transcendental state of Vasudev. The word Vasudev is also used for other purposes. For example, Vasudev also means one who is everywhere, or all-pervading. The sun is also called Vasudeva Shabditam. The word Vasudev may be utilized for different purposes, but whatever purpose we adopt, Vasudev means the all-pervading or localized Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 7.19, it is also stated, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Factual realization is to understand Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and surrender to Him. Vasudeva is the ground wherein Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is revealed. When one is free from the contamination of material nature and is situated in pure Krishna consciousness or in the Vasudeva state, Vasudeva, the Supreme Person, is revealed. This state is also called Kaivalya, which means pure consciousness. Jnanam Sattvikam Kaivalyam. Can everyone say that? When one is situated in pure transcendental knowledge, one is situated in Kaivalya. Therefore, Vasudeva also means Kaivalya, a word which is generally used by impersonalists. Impersonalist Kaivalya is not the last stage of realization, but in Krishna consciousness, Kaivalya, when one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one is successful. In that pure state, by hearing, chanting, remembering, etc., because of the development of knowledge of the science of Krishna, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these activities are under the guidance of the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. The action of the internal potency is also described in this verse as apavritaha, free from any covering. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is name, his form, his quality, his paraphernalia, etc., being transcendental or beyond material nature, it is not possible to understand any one of them with the materialistic senses. When the senses are purified by the discharge of pure devotional service, Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhaktiruchite, the pure senses can see Krishna without covering. Now one may inquire that since factually the devotee has the same material existential body, how is it possible that the same materialistic eyes become purified by devotional service? The example as stated by Lord Chaitanya is that devotional service cleanses the mirror of the mind. In a clean mirror, one can see one's face very distinctly. Similarly, simply by cleansing the mirror of the mind, one can have a clear conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.8, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena, by executing one's prescribed duties in devotional service, Chetasa Nanyagamina, or simply by hearing about God or by chanting about Him, if one's mind is always engaged in chanting and hearing and is not allowed to go elsewhere, one can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think we just had a breakthrough. Let me see if I got this right, and I'll read it again. By executing one's prescribed duties in devotional service, Chaitasa Nanyagamina, or simply by hearing about God and chanting about Him, if one's mind is always engaged in chanting and hearing, is not allowed to go elsewhere, one can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think that could be a major breakthrough. As confirmed by Lord Chaitanya by the Bhakti Yoga process, beginning from hearing and chanting, one can cleanse the heart and mind, and thus one can clearly see the face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva said that since his heart was always filled with his conception of Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of the Supreme Lord's presence within his mind and heart, he was always offering obeisances unto that Supreme Godhead. In other words, Lord Shiva is always in trance, samadhi. This samadhi is not under the control of the devotee. It is under the control of Vasudeva. For the entire internal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead acts under his order. Of course, the material energy also acts by his order, but his direct will is specifically executed through the spiritual energy. Thus, by his spiritual energy, he reveals himself. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.6, Sambhavam Yatmamayaya. Atmamayaya means internal potency. By his sweet will, he reveals himself by his internal potency, being satisfied by the transcendental loving service of the devotee. The devotee never commands, "My dear Lord, please come here so I can see you." It is not the position of the devotee to command the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come before him or to dance before him. There are many so-called devotees who command the Lord to come before them dancing. The Lord, however, is not subject to anyone's command, but he is satisfied by one's pure devotional activities. But if he is satisfied by one's pure devotional activities, he reveals himself. Therefore, a meaningful word in this verse is adhokshaja, for it indicates that the activities of our material senses will fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by the attempt of one's speculative mind, but if one desires, he can subdue all the material activities of his senses. And the Lord, by manifesting his spiritual energy, can reveal himself to the pure devotee. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals himself to the pure devotee, the devotee has no other duty than to offer him respectful obeisances. The Absolute Truth reveals himself to the devotee in his form. He is not formless. Vasudeva is not formless, for it is stated in this verse that as soon as the Lord reveals himself, the devotee offers his obeisances. Obeisances are offered to a person, not to anything impersonal. One should not accept the Mayavad interpretation that Vasudeva is impersonal. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, prapadyate, one surrenders. One surrenders to a person, not to impersonal non-duality. Whenever there is a question of surrendering or offering obeisances, there must be an object of surrender or obeisances. Lucky thing we went down that road, huh? Perfect timing. What else did you hear then? How is everybody? Baked? It is pleasant, though, to hear Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? There's nothing that can quite match up to just hearing in the association of devotees and then discussing afterwards. We can always depend on Ananda Murari.
I like the point that Prabhupada was making about Vasudeva's not only the name of Krishna's father, but it's the name of the state of the heart wherein which Krishna appears. And when one's heart is in that state of Vasudev, then Vasudev manifests himself in the heart.
Yes. Doesn't this verse lend well and confirm the point that two devotees have made after hearing from the first few verses of the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that by the process of purification through hearing and chanting, then one comes to that Vasudev state through which Krishna naturally reveals himself, as also stated in the Vedas, and rather the Vedanta Sutra, anavriti shabdat. By the sound vibration, one becomes uncovered, and then one can... Do you think this lends well, Madhavananda Prabhu, these two verses? They go well together? Yes. Anything else that you heard? Yes, Shraddha. You heard your name in this somewhere.
Oh, yes. Actually, I was really enjoying it when you said that we're going to recite chapter 17 of Bhagavad Gita. And when I read it, I was like very, very happy because... So thank you so much for giving me that name, Maharaj. I really relish that. What I heard today was how 108 is added to the name to indicate that the Acharya is in the transcendental state. So.
Yeah. And by the way, the word ashraddha, shradd means the heart, and dha is an active verb. It means where you place something. So shraddha means literally where you place your heart. And this beginning section of chapter 17 of the Gita means that, as indicating, everyone places their heart somewhere. Krishna says, Sharamayo yam purushaha. Every person is made of their faith. That means that's they're made by the state of their heart. They move in certain directions because of the state of their heart. So the other thing I heard was how Srila Prabhupada had invoked Lord Chaitanya's statement, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, that the process of Sankirtan is for purifying the heart, the mirror of the heart. And when the mirror is cleansed, then one can naturally see Krishna, because now it's obscured because of contamination. It becomes dusty, dirty, and I can't see myself and I can't see Krishna. It's rather optimistic, isn't it, also, because it's altogether possible to decide, as is mentioned in this second verse, the verse from the Bhagavatam we read, to direct one's attention towards hearing and chanting, and by that process, purify the heart. And through gradual stages, realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nirkula than Ananda Murari?
May I add some thoughts to your answer to Deva Madhava's question?
You may.
I was raised in Catholic, and so I don't know how that compares to other Christian religions. But you asked, how he could be, not not really pure in his actions, but at the same time, he is following how his religion is interpreted at this time. It's okay to take intoxication and to eat meat. But Christianity is basically a personal religion. When I was young, there was a question in catechism that said, why did God make you? And the answer was, God made me to know, love, and serve him. It's just that we have a lot more information about that. And so if someone is truly following Christianity, then that's their motive, is to get to know, love, and serve God. I recently had a client whose husband passed away, and they were very much involved in the Presbyterian religion. And he wasn't afraid to talk about death. They knew it was coming. And I saw his wife just a few days after he passed away. And she told me that, he said, I'm not afraid to die. It's not going to be any different than this life. I wake up in the morning and I pray, dear God, I'm here to serve you. Please use me as you may. And I'm just going to do that when I wake up in the next place. So I think, you know, when you're really following the core values of Christianity, there's a lot that resonates with bhakti.
On that note also, in addition to what I was going to share, but I've been, when I visited my family during Christmas, I met with an old friend. It was a friend from high school, it was her mom. And she's like a really progressive, like Christian, but she studies a lot of the Jesuits and a lot of the Franciscan writings. And we had we went to Barnes & Noble and had like a 4-hour just nectar-churning conversation about just how she was seeing Jesus and Krishna consciousness, and it was just like a really extremely powerful. So after that, I was inspired just to, I'm trying to read a psalm every day as part of my sadhana to just kind of see these deeper connections also. But what I also was going to share was, you brought up Prabhupada invoking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Chaito Darpanam Arjanam, cleansing the mirror of the heart, the dust that's accumulated from lifetime after lifetime. And then I was just thinking that this morning we were speaking about bathing in the dust and these two different types of dust, and how there's a material dust that actually inhibits our vision, and then by Rajobhishekam, by bathing in the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, how it actually gives us proper vision.
So. Thank you. Very nice. So now let's read the chapter 17. Together, we'll read the English all the way through. Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture, but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds, in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about this. O son of Bharat, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. Men in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. Those in the mode of passion worship the demons. And those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances, not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, are impelled by lust and attachment. Who are foolish and who torture the material elements of the body, as well as the supersoul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. Even the food each person prefers is of three kinds, according to the three modes of material nature. The same is true of sacrifices, austerities, and charity. Now hear of the distinctions between them. Foods dear to those in the mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome, and pleasing to the heart. Foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry, and burning are dear to those in the mode of passion. Such foods cause distress, misery, and disease. Food prepared more than 3 hours before being eaten, food that is tasteless, decomposed, and putrid, and food consisting of remnants and untouchable things is dear to those in the mode of darkness. Of sacrifices, the sacrifice performed according to the directions of Scripture as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward is of the nature of goodness. But the sacrifice performed for some material benefit or for the sake of pride, O chief of the Bharatas, you should know to be in the mode of passion. Any sacrifice performed without regard for the directions of Scripture, without distribution of prasadam, spiritual food, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations to the priests, and without faith is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and nonviolence. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. This threefold austerity, performed with transcendental faith by men not expecting material benefits, but engaged only for the sake of the Supreme, is called austerity in goodness. Penance performed out of pride and for the sake of gaining respect, honor, and worship is said to be in the mode of passion. It is neither stable nor permanent. Penance performed out of foolishness, with self-torture or to destroy or injure others, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Charity given out of duty, without expectation of return, at the proper time and place, and to a worthy person, is considered to be in the mode of goodness. But charity performed with the expectation of some return, or with a desire for fruitive results, or in a grudging mood, is said to be charity in the mode of passion. And charity performed at an impure place, at an improper time, to unworthy persons, or without proper attention and respect, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. From the beginning of creation, the three words Om Tat Sat were used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth. These three symbolic representations were used by brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. Therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performances of sacrifice, charity, and penance, in accordance with scriptural regulations, begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. Without desiring fruitive results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word Tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. The Absolute Truth is the objective of devotional service, and it is indicated by the word Sat. The performer of such sacrifice is also called Sat, as are all works of sacrifice, penance, and charity, which, true to the Absolute Nature, are performed to please the Supreme Person, O Sanaprita. Anything done as sacrifice, charity, or penance without faith in the Supreme, O Sanaprita, is impermanent. It is called Asat, and is useless both in this life and in the next. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Brahmavidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambade Shraddhatraya Vibhag Yoga Nama Shaptashodhyayaha Hari Om. And now we're going to recite the Jagannath Ashtakam together. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me
Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. Can we get a little harmonium? Why don't you all come on down here? Let's get the let's encourage the musicians to get them on down here. Get down here in the orchestra pit. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. Is everyone ready? Yes or yes? Kadachit kalindi tatavipina sangitakaravo udabhiri nari vadana kamala swara madupa rama shambhu brahma marapati ganesha chitapano jagannatha swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. Lord Jagannath sometimes makes the melodious sounds of playing music and singing throughout the groves on the banks of the Kalindi River. He is like a bumblebee experiencing great delight while tasting the nectar of the lotus-like faces of the cowherd damsels. His lotus feet are worshipped by great personalities such as Lakshmi, Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and Ganesh. May that Lord of the Universe kindly become visible unto me. Puja savye venum shirasi shiki picham kartita te dukulam netrante sahacharika taksham vidadate sada shrimad vrinda vanavasati lila parichayo Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. In his left hand he holds a flute. Upon his head is a peacock feather, and around his hips is a fine silken cloth. From the corners of his eyes he casts sidelong glances upon his loving companions. He is most fond of the pastimes he conducts while living in Sri Vrindavan. May that Lord of the Universe kindly become visible unto me. Maham bodhe sthire kanaka ruchire nila shikare vasan prasadanta sahaja balabhadrena balina subhadra madhyasta sakala sura seva vasarado Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. On the shore of the great ocean is a large palace that glows with the effulgence of solid gold and is topped by a towering temple spire that appears to be a blue sapphire mountain. Residing therein along with his mighty brother Balabhadra, and in between them his sister Subhadra, Lord Jagannath bestows opportunities for all godly souls to render various devotional services. May that Lord of the Universe kindly become visible unto me. Kripa paravara sajala jala dashreni ruchiro ramavani rama spuradamala panke ruhamukha Surendra Radhradya Shutika Nashika Gita Charito Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. He is a fathomless ocean of causeless mercy, and his beautiful complexion is like a cluster of blackish rain clouds. He derives great pleasure by hearing the words of affectionate chastisement from his beloved goddess Lakshmi. His face is like a fully blown spotless lotus flower. He is worshipped by the best of demigods and sages, and his character and activities are glorified in song by the topmost personified Upanishads. May that Lord of the Universe kindly become visible unto me. Ratarudho gachan patimilita bhudeva patalai stuti pradurbhavam pratipanamupakarnya sadaya daya sindhur bandhu sakala jagatam sindhu sutaya jagannatha swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. As the Lord mounts his Rathyatra cart and parades along the road, there is a constant accompaniment of loud prayers and songs chanted by large assemblies of saintly brahmanas. Hearing their hymns, Lord Jagannath is favorably disposed toward them. He is an ocean of mercy and is a true friend of all the worlds. May that Lord of the universe, along with his consort Lakshmi, who is born from the ocean of nectar, kindly become visible unto me. Param Brahma Pida Kuvalaya Dulot Pula Nayano Nivasi Niladra Nihita Charano Nanta Shirasi Rasa Nandi Radha Sarasa Vapura Lingana Sukho Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. He is the ornament adorning the head of Parabrahma, the supreme spiritual reality. His eyes are like the blossom petals of a blue lotus flower, and he resides in the Nilachala temple that resembles a sapphire hill. His lotus feet are placed upon the heads of Lord Anantadev. He is overwhelmed by the flow of transcendental loving mellows, and he becomes happy only by embracing the luscious divine form of Srimati Radharani. May that Lord of the universe kindly become visible unto me. Navayache Rajam Nachaka Nakamanikya Vibhavam Nayache Ham Brahmyam Sakala Janakamyam Varavadhum Sada Kale Kale Pramapatpatina Gita Charito Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. I certainly do not pray for a kingdom, nor for gold, rubies, and wealth. I do not ask for an excellent and beautiful wife, which is a possession desired by all ordinary men. I simply pray for that Lord of the universe, whose glories are sung by Lord Shiva from age to age, to kindly become visible unto me. Hara tvam samsaram trutatanam asaram surapate Hara tvam papanam vitatim aparam dyaravapate Aho dine nate nehita charano nishchitam idam Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. O Lord of the demigods, please quickly take away this useless material existence I am undergoing. O Lord of the Yadus, please destroy the boundless accumulation of my sinful reactions. Aho! It is certain that Lord Jagannath bestows his lotus feet upon those who feel themselves humbled and helpless. May that Lord of the universe kindly become visible unto me. Jagannathashtakam punyam yapate prayatasuchi sarva papa vishudatma vishnulokam sagachati. The soul of that self-restrained and virtuous person who recites these eight verses glorifying Lord Jagannath becomes cleansed of all sins and duly proceeds to Lord Vishnu's abode. And now we have the Sri Dashavatar Stotra. What page? What's this? Page 35.
Please don't get electrocuted. Otherwise, we'll have no sound for the rest of the trip. Thank you. Pralayapayo dijale dhritavana sivedam vihitavahit racharitramakedam keshava dhrita meena sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Shitiriha Vipulatare Tishtati Tava Prishte Dharani Dharana Kina Chakra Garishte Keshavadrita Kurma Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Vasati Dashana Shikare Dharani Tava Lagna Shashani Kalanka Kalevani Magna Keshavatrita Shukara Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Tavakara Kamalavare Nakamad Bhuta Shringa Dalita Hiranyakashi Putanu Bringam Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Chalayasi Vikramane Balamadbhuta Vamana Paranaka Nirajanita Janapavana Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Kshatriya Rudhiramaye Jagarapagata Papam Snapayasi Payasi Shamita Bhavatapam Keshavadrita Brigupati Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Vitarasi Dikshurane Dikpati Kamaniyam Dashamukam Mauli Balim Ramaniyam Keshavadrita Rama Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Vahasi Vapushi Vishare Vasanam Jala Dabham Halahati Bhiti Tanyamunabham Keshavadrita Haladara Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Nindasi Yagyavadher Ahaha Shuti Jatam Sadaya Ridaya Dashita Pashukatam Keshavadrita Buddha Sharira Jaya Buddhadev Jahare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Mlechani Vahani Dane Kalayasi Karavalam. Duma Ketumiva Kimapikaralam. Keshavadrita Kalki Sharira. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Kalki Dev Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Shri Jaya Deva Kaveri Namudita Mudaram. Shrinu Sukadam Shubhadam Bhavasaram. Shavadrita Dashvidharupa. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Veja Murada Te Jaganti Vahate. Bhugolam Udbibrate. Daityam Darayate Balim Chalayate. Shatrashayam Kurvate. Paulas jam jayate halam kalayate karunya matanvate lechan murchayate dashakriti krite krishnaya tubhyam namah. One more time. Lechan murchayate dashakriti krite Krishnaya tubhyam namah. O Lord Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you, who incarnate in these 10 forms. In the form of Matsya, you rescue the Vedas. As Kurma, you bear Mount Mandara on your back. As Varaha, you lift the earth on your tusk. As Narsingha, you tear open the chest of the demon, Hiranyakashipu. As Vaman, you trick King Bali. As Parushurama, you slay all the wicked Kshatriyas. As Ramachandra, you defeat Ravana, the son of Pulastya. As Balaram, you carry a plow. As Lord Buddha, you show compassion to all. And as Kalki, you kill the Mlechas. Go pray Manane. Daya Nitai Chaitanya Bole. Nachriyar marman.
Keep playing the high hat.
Doyal nitai chaitanya bole. Nachriyar marman. Nachriyar marman. Nacharyar marman, Nacharyar marman, Nacharyar marman. Hey! Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole, Nacharyar marman. Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Doyali tai chaitanya bole nacharyar marman. Doyal to nai hai. Doyal to nai hai. Emon toyal to nai hai mar ke ye prema de. Emon doyal tonahe mar ke prema de. Doyal Gita Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Doyali Tai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Doyali Tai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Ore Aparada Dure Jabe Pabe Premadan. Ore aparara dure jabe pabe premadhan. Vicharato nahi hai. Vicharato nahi hai. Oh, name aparad. Vicharato nahi hai. Oh, na me aparad, vichar to na hai. Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey! Doyali Tai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Takon Krishna name ruche habe guche be bandan. Takon Krishna name ruche habe guche be bandan. Anuragto habe he. Anuragto habe hai. Krishna name anuragto habe hai. Krishna name anuragto habe hai. Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Doyali Tai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Tako Nanayase Sapal Habe Jivera Jivan. Tako Anayase Sapal Habe Jivera Jivan. Jivanto Michehe. Jivanto Michehe. Krishna Rati Bina. Jivanto Michehe. Krishna Rati Bina. Jivanto Michehe. Doyali Tai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman. Dayal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Doyali Tai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman Doyali Tai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman Eshe Brindabane Radha Shamir Pabe Darshan. Eshe Brindabane Radha Shamir Pabe Darshan. The journey through the material world is a journey of darkness. From life to life, one simply awaits the next death and many disappointments in between. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna certifies that the material world is a place of suffering. What more can he say than by calling this the Dukkhalayam, or the place where you come to take a beating and suffer again and again? And human beings are always looking for a way to avoid suffering and try to find happiness, but it always falls short until one comes to the ultimate inquiry about the absolute truth. But even then, there are many answers that come flooding into the world. People oftentimes become confused. In the age of Kali Yuga, however, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, at the outset of his book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, announces the arrival of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who have arisen like the sun and the moon simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So by taking shelter of the holy names of Krishna and Nitai and Gauranga, one can very easily come to the point of light and love for the Supreme Personality of God. And after all, bhakti means singing songs, and that's not so hard. And the song that comes from the spiritual world, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, delivered by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, will take any soul back home, back to Godhead, because there's no difference between the Maha Mantra and Krishna himself. Well, there is one difference. And Rupa Goswami says, the holy name is even more merciful than Krishna himself. So, those who understand this truth, but then struggle to chant the Maha Mantra, can take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, who remove all the obstacles on the path of devotional service so that one can easily go back to Godhead. And you'll hear some of those devotees who discover this great truth about Kali Yuga. That is, just by chanting the holy names of the Lord, they can derive the highest benefit, waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning chanting, Gaura Kripa Hole Hai, 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 Doyali Tai Chaitanya Pole Nacharyar Marman. Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai go Haribo, 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 Nitai go Haribo. Jai Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nachre Amar Man. Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nachre Amar Man. Nachre Amar Man. Nachre Amar Man. Nachare armar man, nachare armar man. Hey! Nachare armar man, nachare armar man. Go pray manande, nitai gora haribo, 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 nitai gora haribo. And now, because we didn't have time in the hot sun, we'd like to have Madhavananda Prabhu come up and tell us more about the Tota Gopinath Temple and any other reflections that devotees wanted to continue today, but were too baked to ask.
Graganya gana go to go lodu haram. Goranga guda tamago pyada kopa briksham. Gopala gada rati dam yati singha gora. Govinda deshi kavaram satatam namami. Guruve gora chandraya. Radhikaya tadalaye. Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. So some devotees were asking some other questions about Tota Gopinath. Mostly I said everything I think that we have to say about Gopinath more or less the other day, but we did it in a very compressed way. So maybe I can fluff it out a little more. That area is known as the Jambeshwar Tota, the full Tota. The full Tota means the flower garden of Jambeshwar Mahadev. And Jambeshwar Mahadev is another discussion. I just briefly mentioned there's five Pancha Mahadevs in Jagannath Puri. Kapateshwar Mahadev, Markandeshwar Mahadev, Nilakanteshwar Mahadev, Jambeshwar Mahadev, and Lokanath Mahadev, who are considered to be manifestations, partial manifestations, according to Skanda Purana, of the Pancha Pandavas. Very difficult thing to understand. So that area is a flower garden of Jambeshwar Mahadev, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going there every day with Gadadhar Pandit to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And what was he hearing? What section of the Bhagavatam? Dhruva, the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. Why was he hearing that? That's the internal reason. And there's also an external reason. Everything, adavante cha madhye cha hari sarvatra giyate, from the beginning, the middle, and the end, everything in Srimad Bhagavatam is complete nectar. You don't have to jump to the 10th canto. And the internal reason, as Prabhuji said, is that Srimati Radharani, she relishes these moods. Why does she relish this? She can relate to that because she has a mother-in-law and a sister-in-law, Jatila and Kutila, who are always making her life very miserable. So Mahaprabhu was going there, and one day, as he was hearing from Gadadhar Pandit, he was seemingly idly digging in the sand. And suddenly he turned to Gadadhar and he said, "Hey, Gadai, would you do something for me?" "Yes, my lord." "What is it?" "Would you worship Gopinath?" And he revealed under the sand the beautiful form of Radha, Lalita, Tota, Gopinath. And Gadadhar Pandit began to worship them. And as we mentioned, some people say, many people ask me about Gaur Gadadhar. It's a very, very esoteric subject. And it's spoken about in slightly different ways by many different acharyas, sometimes in big different ways. Srupa Damodar Goswami, for example, he says that Gadadhar Pandit is a manifestation of three persons. Lalita, Radharani, and Lord Hari, Krishna. So, it's, depending on your particular perspective, one person that I heard, though, said that to solve this potential conflict of interest, because Krishna's come as Mahaprabhu for the purpose, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subhalitam Nomi Krishna Srupam, he's come to taste the mood of Radha, and it may be a little difficult to do that if Radharani is also present there in the form of Gadadhar Pandit. So to give Gadadhar something else to keep him busy, he's given him Gopinath. So Gadadhar Pandit took up that worship and he took a vow of Chaitra Sannyas, I'll never leave this place. And as we mentioned, that's a very esoteric, curious question. How is it that Gadadhar Pandit, Radharani, is taking a vow never to leave Braj, never go to Vrindavan? Never. How is that? That's another subject, but we should mark it. And we also mentioned something about the deity, how some say that this deity was the deity worshipped originally by Lord Brahma. And there's a verse in Brahma Sanhita, what is that? Alola chandrika lasadvanamalya vangsi ratnangadam pranayakeli kalavilasam shamam tribanga lalitam niyata prakasham govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. And how Gopinath, Krishna, the deity worshipped by Lord Brahma, has a moon locket around his neck. And we mentioned how Gopinath also has that. And some say that when Lord Brahma established the deity of Jagannath, deities of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and Sudarshan, those four deities, that he also established the deities of Radha, Lalita, Tota, Gopinath. They're very, very esoteric devote deities. And they're basically the favorites of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas for some of the reasons we've mentioned and other reasons we will mention. I've heard it said from the Mahant there and from some senior devotees who've heard from elderly people who were worshipping Gopinath for a long time that around 100 years ago or so, they moved the deity, Gopinath. But when they moved Gopinath, they found a big problem. Gopinath sits on a lotus. You may see that if you go early in the morning. And they found when they went to move him to his new temple that there was a kind of like cable or something that was attached to that lotus that went down in the ground. And so that was strange. They'd never heard about that. They started digging to go underneath that cable, away, and they kept digging and digging and digging, and they couldn't find the end of it. And finally they had to break that thing. And they say that just as Lord Brahma manifested himself on the lotus coming from the navel of Lord Vishnu, and Gopinath also was on such a kind of lotus. I don't know. I'm just repeating some of the things that we've heard there from people who are authorities. And Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have also done like this. Unless someone's actually personally there, or actually personally, I'm waiting for Gopinath to tell the actual story to Gita Priya. I think that might happen someday. And if Gopinath explains to you the real origin of him, then you have to share with us, okay? But even there's a problem with that, because he may share a particular aspect of that vision with her, and he may tell somebody else something completely different. And they may both be true. That becomes even more confusing. So another concept about Gopinath and why he's sitting down, they say that Gopinath, Shiman Rasura Saram Bivam Sivata Tatastita Karshan Venusanar Gopir Gopinatha Sriestranaha, that he's the deity, the Raslila. And one day, there at Vamsivat, he began to blow on his flute. And he called for all the gopis to come. And they performed the Raslila for one Brahmaratri. And as we mentioned, Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam Maharyad Brahmanovdu. What chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is that from Gita Priya? Do you know? From chapter 8, right? So, 1,000 ages taken together, the duration of Lord Brahma's night and also his day. So it was a long time to dance. The gopis became a little tired. And then Krishna took them out in the water of the Jamuna to refresh them. And when the gopis came back out, they made a pile of sand on the bank of the Jamuna, and they took their uttariyas, their outer cloths, and they folded them and put them nicely on that mound of sand. And then Krishna, like the moon surrounded by the stars, sat down surrounded by the gopis. And they say this is why Gopinath is sitting down. Now, other people say that he was sitting down for Gadadhar Pandit, that when Gadadhar Pandit became very old, Gopinath sat down. Now, other people that I've heard, they say, that's nonsense. Because Gadadhar Pandit left this world in his mid-40s. And believe me, that's very young. But then again, other people say, no, it's possible. Because according to Bhakti Ratnakar and other authoritative literatures, after the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srinivasacharya, he came here to Jagannath Puri, and on his way, he was so excited. He was the son of Chaitanya Das, and he was thinking that I'm going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But on the way, he saw some people who looked very depressed, and he said, "What's wrong? Is everything okay?" And they said, "You haven't heard the news? What is it?" They said, "Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world." And when Srinivasacharya heard that, he fell to the ground unconscious. And he wanted to die. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a vision and told him, no, I've made arrangements for you. You go to the temple of Tota Gopinath, and Gadadhar Pandit's waiting there for you, and you're going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from him. What is the necessity of that? He could simply read Srimad Bhagavatam. Books are there. But he should hear from Gadadhar Pandit. Just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have himself read the book. But instead, he chose to hear from the person. Because Premamoyi Bhagavata. Krishna Rasriyanga, Chaitanya Bhagavata says that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the body of Krishna. And it's made out of Krishna Prem. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, It said that Jaho Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavirasthani Ekanta Shai Kori Chaitanya Charani, that one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee. It's very important. In Chaitanya Bhagavata, it says Duistani Bhagavati. There's two Bhagavats. The Granta Bhagavat, our Krishna Kripa Patra, and the Bhakta Bhagavat. Just as Prabhuji was saying this morning, one must take shelter of a devotee. In the Adi Purana, famous verses there, which appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna tells Arjun, Ye me bhakta jana partha na me bhakta sate janaha. Those people say they're my devotee. They wear a t-shirt, maybe you've seen it, says I, and there's a big heart, I love Krishna. Krishna says, I have no idea who those people are. Ye me bhakta jana partha na me bhakta sate janaha. They're not really my devotees. But that person who's a devotee of my devotee, he's my real devotee. So, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashray Prati Shloki Prati Akshinanartha Koi. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the manifestation of Krishna. Just as Krishna is Vibhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so also is Srimad Bhagavatam. In Prati Shloki Prati Akshinanartha Koi, each and every verse, each and every syllable has unlimited meanings. So the wire that transmits that electricity of Srimad Bhagavatam is the Bhakta Bhagavat, by which we understand the Granta Bhagavat. And you may not believe me, you can do a simple social experiment. You can go to San Francisco and find some drunken bum laying on the street and go up to him and kind of shake him. Say, hey man, take this book and give him a Srimad Bhagavatam. And maybe he can read the book, Srimad Bhagavatam, right? What is he going to understand from it? Very little. And then you can go to the university and find some young man who likes to take drugs, and he's sitting next to a very beautiful girl in the class, and you give him the book and see how much he understands. And then give it to a professor of Sanskrit, who I met a professor when he was a very young boy. He'd memorized the entire Gita, and this professor knew hundreds, probably thousands of verses from Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava. He was amazing. But he was sharing with me some of his ecstasies about how Jagannath is actually Buddha, and he'd also like to eat fish very much and smoke cigarettes. So you can give the Bhagavatam to him and see what he understands. He'll understand something else. And then give it to a brand new bhakta in ISKCON who's been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class for some months in a submissive way and see what he understands. He'll understand something even more than that Sanskrit professor. And then go to someone like Radha Govinda Maharaj, Prabhupada's disciple, who when he was a young boy, 5 years old, he was going to school every day. He had to walk to school some distance. He'd say, okay, Mom, I got my lunch basket. I'm going to school now. I'll see you later on today. And he would leave the house, look both directions, and run into the forest. He'd miss school every day. And in the forest, there was one Vaishnava sadhu who was living there. And he would sit down and just read Srimad Bhagavatam all day with him. That's how he grew up. He's an amazing person who knows so much about Srimad Bhagavatam, but by the mercy of the devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this very important lesson here in Jagannath Puri, that if we want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to take shelter of a devotee. We can't proudly think that I can understand Srimad Bhagavatam just by dint of my intelligence. Bhakti Bhagavatam Gayam Nabhuriya Nachatikaya. It's said by Lord Shiva. He says, Aham Vedmi Shuka Vedi Vyasa Vedi Navedi Va. I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami understands because he heard it from me in Bhubaneswar, not far from Puri. That's another story we may tell some other time. Vyasa Vedi Navedi Va, whether Vyasa understands or not, I don't know. It's not a simple thing to understand Srimad Bhaktya Bhagavatam Gram Nabudhya Nachatikaya. Nabudhya, not by your intelligence. Nachatikaya, not even by reading commentaries on the Bhagavatam. Can you understand it? But Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grayam. Because Krishna is only understood by bhakti. Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati Yavanyaschasmi Tattvataha. So to establish this, Krishna sent Srinivasacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Srinivas Acharya and said, you hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. And so some say that Gadadhar was not so young, not so old, when he left this world, so why would Gopinath sit down? But when Srinivas arrived in the temple, no one was there of Tota Gopinath. There was just some person sitting in the corner with their arms wrapped around themselves and their head down and just weeping, bitterly crying. And Srinivas offered obeisances to Gopinath. And then he went over to that person in the corner and he offered obeisances to that person who was crying. And that devotee looked up. And when he saw Srinivas, he said, oh, what is your name? And Srinivas folded his hands and said, my name is Srinivas, I'm your servant. And that devotee immediately embraced him and said, I'm Gadadhar. And Mahaprabhu said that you would be coming. So now we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But there was a problem. When they went to read the book, this was the original Srimad Bhagavatam, not this book, but there was an original Srimad Bhagavatam that Gadadhar was reading every day with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the problem was that when they were reading it, they were crying so much, because that's what happens when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, if you're really reading Srimad Bhagavatam. They were crying so much that you couldn't read it anymore. It had become illegible. So he told Srinivas that okay, look, you go to back to Navadvipa and have someone else get a Bhagavatam. At that time, there was no BBT press. You couldn't just go and order a few cases of the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. So it had to be handwritten. So he went all the way back, and Gadadhar told him, but be quick. I don't know how long I can stay. And Srinivas went back, and when he was there, he got a chance to have darshan of Sachimata and Vishnupriya and different exalted devotees. And it was very wonderful in Navadvipa. And he spent a little bit of time there. And when he's coming back to Puri, he saw some people on the road, and they looked very depressed, and they were crying. And Srinivas said, oh no, I already went through this before. He said, what's wrong? Something happened? And they said, you haven't heard the news? Gadadhar Pandit left this world. And then Srinivas fell to the ground. Oh my God, better I should die. And then Gadadhar Pandit came to him in a dream. He said, don't worry, I've made arrangements. You go to Vrindavan and hear from Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. And that's another story, after what happened after that. The Lord always makes some arrangement for a sincere devotee. So Gadadhar Pandit, some say that he aged very quickly after the disappearance of Mahaprabhu, and he couldn't put the crown on Gopinath. And so then Gopinath sat down so Gadadhar could put that crown on his head. Other people say, no. There's another explanation why Gopinath's sitting. They say that Gopinath sat down for Mamu Thakur. And Mamu Thakur was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, a maternal uncle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they say that when Mamu Thakur got old, Gopinath sat down for him. I don't know. We're waiting to hear what Gopinath tells Gita Priya. You have to make a report to us, okay, when that happens. All right? So, and then we have another question. Have you seen deities of Radharani that are black? Has anybody ever seen a black deity of Radharani or Lalita? I have. If you go to the place called Kunti Asahi, just next to the temple of the Gambira, Radhakant Mat, the deities are there of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, who came all the way from Vrindavan to be worshipped by Kanai Kuntia. Very amazing deities. They're about so high, and they're in someone's house. You can just go just about this far away from them. Very wonderful deities. Kanai Kunti, by the way, was one of the associates of Mahaprabhu. He was the head pujari in the Jagannath Mandir at the time of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said he was a manifestation of Nanda Maharaj. Not sure what that means, but that's what he said. So it's a long story about Vrindavan Chandra. He wanted to be worshipped by Kanai Kunti, and he came from Vrindavan for that purpose. And the deity of Radharani there, she's black. Only in Orissa have I ever seen black deities of Radharani. And in Tota Gopinath temple, it's very special. And as we mentioned, the deities there, they have some unusual mudras. Radharani generally has an Abhaya mudra. She's giving some ashirvad, some blessing. And that blessing means everything is okay. And sometimes she's doing a tumble seva mudra, like Radharani in Mayapur. She's offering some tumble, some betel to Krishna by that. But Radharani here at Tota Gopinath, she's like this. And Lalita, she's standing like Krishna. Her feet are crossed. She's standing in Tribhanga posture. In her hand, she looks like she's holding a flute. Some years ago, we collected money for some time. We made a flute for Lalita. They still have there. And sometimes they offer in certain festivals. So why are the deities there black, and why do they have this very unusual posture? There was one old sadhu there at the temple. Somehow he liked me very much. His name was Hari Krishna Das Baba. And when I would come to the temple, he would get very excited. Madhavananda's come, Madhavananda. He would come and give me a big hug. And he'd lived there for about 40 years. And he also knew some of the older sadhus. And so he related the local tradition about that to me, which again, I don't know. We're waiting for Gita Priya to get the real scoop from Gopinath. But he gave an explanation, which I touched on the other day, which I found very satisfying, that we know during the Rasa Leela, Shriman Rasa Rasadambi Vamsiva Tatatastitaha Gopinath Siddhiti, the Rasa Leela, Krishna disappeared from the gopis. And the gopis became unmadana. They became transcendentally mad. And they began searching for Krishna. They couldn't find him. And then in their madness of separation, they began enacting the pastimes of Krishna. And one gopi would act like baby Krishna. Another gopi would act like Putana. Another gopi acted like Trinavarta. Another one acted like Aristasura. They acted different pastimes of Krishna. So during that pastime, Radharani and Lalita, they were meditating so deeply on Krishna, they became blackish like Krishna. And Lalita started playing a flute and acting like she was Krishna. And Radharani, meditating so deeply on the Rasa Leela, she started playing a veena. And this is why their hands are in that kind of posture. Some devotees have also asked us, well, okay, we can understand something about these extraordinary deities of Radha, Lalita, Tota Gopinath. And I should, before I go on, I should mention another quick thing. That we know from Bhakti Ratnakar, from the writings of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, from the writings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and also Srila Prabhupada in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared into the body of Gopinath. There's one local book in a real language, it's a 500-year-old book. The name's not coming to my mind. I have a Kali Yuga brain. That describes that one day, I don't know the day of the Ratha Yatra or the day before the Ratha Yatra, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees were at the Gundicha Mandir, because the day before they're doing Gundicha Marjana. And the day of Ratha Yatra, Jagannath goes to Gundicha. And suddenly Mahaprabhu disappeared and the devotees became terror-stricken. This happens sometimes in the Gambira, and the devotees would search throughout Puri for Mahaprabhu. So some went to the Tota Gopinath temple where Mahaprabhu was regularly going. And there at the temple of Tota Gopinath, they found a garland in front of Gopinath, Mahaprabhu's garland, laying on the ground. And they put that in that samadhi, that shrine, which is in front of Revati Varuni and Balaram. And they worshipped that. And therefore, all these different literatures and acharyas say that Mahaprabhu entered into Gopinath. And so when you're having darshan of Gopinath, you're having sakshat darshan, direct darshan of Mahaprabhu. And as I mentioned the other day, they say that Gadadhar entered into Radharani and Swarup Damodara Goswami entered into Lalita. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good darshan when you come before Radharani and Lalita and Tota Gopinath. So some devotees have asked this question. Prabhuji was asking this the other night. Why it is that there are deities there of Revati, Varuni, and Balaram. It's not so traditional in Gaudiya Vaishnavism to have deity of Balaram, especially such an important deity of Gopinath. And moreover, the deity of Balaram, we don't like to look at the material the deity is made from, but the deity of Balaram, he has a very different kind of form than Gopinath's form. The deity is made out of something very different. How do we understand that? And on the right-hand side of the altar, we also have Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan and Gaur Gadadhar. And there's a Govardhan Shila, also a big round Govardhan Shila. It was written, worshipped for 40 years there by Hare Krishna Das Baba, that they put on the altar and put his picture near there after he left. Those deities of Radha Madan Mohan and Gaur Gadadhar were established by Mamu Thakur. He also established the deity of Gopishwar Mahadev when you're coming into the entrance. So now what about Balaram? Revati, Varuni, and Balaram. For those of you who know Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll mark that Revati is taller than Krishna, than Balaram. And you know the reason for that? Anybody, can someone say? Prabhuji? Dwapar Yuga. Or maybe from actually from Satya Yuga. I don't know, remember which Yuga. But anyway, Balaram had gone away and came back for a little bit of time with Lord Brahma. When he came back, that she was from a different age. She was much taller than him. So the deities like that. But why are the deities, Revati, Varuni, and Balaram, there? I wondered this for many, many years. And once I got the opportunity, many times I had the good opportunity to speak with Srila Prabhupada's old friend in Vrindavan, Gopal Ghosh. Somehow he liked me very much. He liked our magazine very much. He told me once, he said, that I like to read your Krishna Katamrita magazine and I chant japa and look at the pictures while I do that. He's a Brijbasi Vaishnav who passed away a few years ago. When Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, the first house that he went to beg Madhukari was the house of Gopal Ghosh. And Prabhupada spent quite a bit of time with him. He has a lot of memories about Srila Prabhupada. So I used to go and visit him. He was the librarian at the Vrindavan Research Center, where they have Rupa Goswami's original handwriting and Jiva Goswami's original books and Sanatana Goswami. And he was like a walking encyclopedia. And I would go and ask him different research questions for publications. And once I asked him this question about Balaram, Revati, and Varuni, this story, by the way, I won't tell this in front of the deities in the temple. Just as if someone's been adopted by someone else, you don't want to speak about that in front of that child. It's not an appropriate thing. So I don't like to tell this story in front of Revati, Varuni, and Balaram. I just offer my obeisances because Balaram's a very powerful person. Mm-hmm. Do you know, Jiva Goswami, he says that when... my Kali Yuga brain. Who is it who attacked Mathura so many times? Jarasandha. That when Jarasandha came to attack Mathura on one occasion, Krishna and Balaram came out to fight with him and his warriors. And Balaram came out, he's Haladar. He came out with a plow on his shoulder. And when he came out, Jarasandha started laughing at him. Did you see? He's a farm boy. You know, if you're a farmer, no matter where you're at in the world, people, they make fun of you, you know. Isn't that cute? Look, he's come with a plow on his shoulder to fight with all of us Kshatriyas. He barely got those words out of his mouth. Maybe 1 second went by and all the soldiers were dead with that cute little plow of Balaram. So be careful, don't say funny things about Balaram in front of him. He has a little bit of anger sometimes. So Gopal Ghosh gave me a very nice explanation. He said that Mamu Thakur, when he was worshipping the deity, there was no temple there. Apparently Gopinath was being worshipped in a mud hut by Gadadhar. And he wanted to make a temple, but he didn't have money. And he's busy doing seva for Gopinath all the time. He couldn't get a job as a postman or something. But he had one wealthy disciple. And he was always asking him, you please give something to build a temple. But the disciple didn't want to use the money for that. So then Mamu Thakur, he made a plan. And he had deities made of Revati, Varuni, and Balaram. And he contacted his disciple. He said, it's an amazing thing. We were doing some excavating. We were digging for something in the ground near the temple here. And we found these deities of Balaram, Revati, and Varuni. And that disciple of Mamu Thakur, he was really a devotee of Balaram. He loved Balaram. And so when he heard that news, oh my God, well, I've got to build a temple. And so that's the story, how the deities came there. So many things can be said about those deities and about that area. It's a very, very esoteric subject matter, but this is a little something. I speak too much. I've spoken too long now. I was hoping to give a little time for some questions some devotees might have. But we have a couple minutes left before we have our announcements. Maybe if anybody has any reflections from earlier today, I'd be curious to see what you thought about our explanation, our thoughts about why Jagannath doesn't allow the Western devotees inside of the temple, or any other subject matters. Naga Sankirtan, Prabhu? Naga Kirtan?
Yeah, I was really reflecting on that point we were discussing earlier at Ganga?
Swetaganga.
About how you were mentioning that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood next to Garuda to take darshan of Lord Jagannath, that there's an internal and an external reason. And anyway, this whole idea that we're going to take darshan of the Lord, that it doesn't mean that we're going to just check out the Lord or something, or go and see the Lord, but actually we want the Lord to see us. So there was a couple other points that I can't really reconcile with that point, and I was wondering if you could help me. Mm-hmm. So bhakti yoga, the idea is to please Krishna's senses, obviously. And obviously Krishna has eyes. So we also come to the understanding in Krishna consciousness, it seems, at a certain point, that we're all very fallen and despicable and abominable. These words are used by the Vaishnavacharyas. So the idea that I'm going to go in front of Krishna so that he can see me, it feels a little odd, in the sense that if I'm trying to please Krishna's senses, I'll try to stay far away as possible from him so he doesn't see me. because I'm so abominable. At least that's how the Acharyas express their understanding. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he expresses very deeply, of course, he's an elevated soul, but he is doing it for our example so we can understand how we should feel. So if that's the way that we're supposed to feel, and simultaneously we're supposed to put ourselves in front of the Lord for him to see us, it just seems a little contradictory.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say you're out on the street in Fremont or someplace, and you meet someone who seems really disgusting. Like I mentioned the other day, maybe a bag lady who's taking a half-eaten hamburger out of the garbage for several days and eating that thing. And that person, somehow you have an exchange with her, and you give her a book, you start to, and she's, wow, yeah, and she wants to chant. And then the next week you go to Fremont again, and she sees you and she comes running up to you. How do you feel when you see her, when she comes running up and wanting to chant? You probably feel pretty happy, don't you? Even though she may be a really disgusting person, materially, you're feeling happy not because of her material condition, but by her consciousness, and by the fact that she's trying to do something for Krishna. So think how much Krishna appreciates if we're trying to chant, not just that we come before him and stand and say, here I am, Krishna, aren't I handsome? I combed my hair this morning. I don't have any hair left. Krishna's not going to appreciate that. But if we come before him and we chant, Krishna's Bhavagrahi Janardhan, and he appreciates the mood of the devotee. And moreover, Srila Prabhupada was such a genius. When you're saying this, I was contemplating Srila Prabhupada's primary instruction, which I feel so inspired by when I get in Vaisheshika Prabhu's association, to distribute books and preach. Uh-huh. Prabhupada gave this not in the Christian sense of preaching that we see in the West, but he gave this practically as an activity of our sadhana. Whereas before, everybody, all the Gaudiya Acharyas pretty much were, not many of them were emphasizing that you should do nirjan bhajan, you should chant the holy names, and you'll get Krishna's attention in that way. And preaching is considered to be a very, very elevated thing. But Prabhupada told these brand new devotees, I know when I first, I was living in a cave in Mount Lemmon in Arizona, and I came down, I was trying to chant Hare Krishna in the cave. I knew the devotees something. And then finally I decided I want to join the Hare Krishnas. And I came down there's Tucson there, I think. And I knew there was no temple there. But somebody on the street said, hey, well, you know, there's some Hare Krishna people at the university. And so I went there and I met with Charu Prabhu and Madhuha and some of the devotees. They had hats on and Western clothes. And I came and I said, hey, I know you guys are Hare Krishnas, aren't you? They had like a festival of India they were doing, but undercover, not as Hare Krishnas. And they gave me some prasadam. And then one of the first things Charu Prabhu did, I was a caveman living in the cave with long hair and dirty clothes and things. He came and gave me a box of Bhagavad Gitas and said, go distribute these. I don't know anything. But that's the Hare Krishna movement. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did. Why? Because if we do that, we may attract the attention of Krishna. I can tell you very honestly, my chanting of japa is not so powerful. My performance of kirtan, my reading of Srimad Bhagavatam is not so powerful. But if I can do something to please Krishna's devotee, if I can do something to please Krishna and maybe get the attention of Krishna, Krishna's devotee, that's a very, very powerful thing. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, we should not try to see the Lord, but we should act in such a way the Lord will see us. And this was Srila Prabhupada's genius. And this is why he sent the newest people out to do something which some of his big sannyasi godbrothers were unable to do. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta sent some of them to England to preach. And they weren't able, they did a little something. It's very glorious. But they weren't able to do very much. But Prabhupada sent devotees there who had only been devotees for 1 year or something. Very, very new devotees and grihasthas. And he told him, you distribute books, you talk to people about Krishna. And immediately they had success because they attracted the attention of Krishna because they took the order of Srila Prabhupada as it is. That's my humble thought about the very, very powerful process Prabhupada gave us of preaching. It's not that I'm a qualified preacher and I have so much potency I can give something to somebody, but this is for my benefit also. I'm trying to attract the attention of Krishna, and that's the meaning of darshan. That we act in a way that Krishna will want to see us, even though I'm such a disgusting, fallen person, as you're saying. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, I think that unless somebody has some burning thing, one burning thing over here, Prabhuji, then we'll stop. I don't want to get in trouble. I think we're a little late now.
So how do we reconcile Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur saying that we shouldn't try to see Krishna but should try to make him want to see us versus Srila Prabhupada's statement that one should somehow or other become eager to see Krishna?
Mm-hmm. We should have that eagerness, and that eagerness to see Krishna is the thing which pleases Krishna so very, very much. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in Saharta Darshani's commentary on the Bhagavatam, he raises a very terrible question. He says, why did Krishna leave Braj? If you say that Krishna really loved the Brijbasis and the gopis, why did he leave and why didn't he return? Of course, he did return. There's some little, very little, but there's some little mention of that in a few different places in Gaudiya literature. But we don't hear about it very much. Basically, we heard that he left, and then he spent so much time in Dwarka and Mathura. If you're going to say that he loved the gopis, it seems like he had more love for the residents in Mathura, the residents in Dwarka. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's answer is that just as a goldsmith, to prove the purity of gold, he heats it. Because when the gold melts, then you can see if it has some other alloys, it's mixed with some other metal or something, you see its purity. So to show the purity of the gopis, the Braj gopis, Krishna put them in the fire of separation. And in that fire of separation, their love for Krishna became glorious. It became apparent to the whole world. That was Krishna's desire, to glorify them. So we should have this strong desire to see the Lord. But even just having that desire doesn't mean that necessarily Krishna is going to look at us. We should do something that Krishna, that's going to please Krishna. And in particular, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us here in Puri, Mahaprabhu stood next to Garuda. We see in the picture just behind me here. Thinking that why will Jagannath look at me and his Dainyabhava? He wanted to see Jagannath so bad. But why will Jagannath look at me? He mean that, but Jagannath loves Garuda. And if I stand next to Garuda, I do some service for Garuda, definitely Jagannath will see Garuda, and then he may see me. So this is our process of darshan. Sometimes I give an analogy, that little story. What if I came running into the room, this assembly right now, and I was crying and said, Prabhuji, it's an amazing thing. You're not going to believe this, but Krishna's standing outside and he wants to talk to you. He's waiting for you. What will you do? I like to ask this question many times to devotees. It catches them off guard. A lot of times devotees, they become confused. It's I don't know. But I'll run there. Okay, and what are you going to ask him? What are you going to say? Yo, dude, how's the weather? How are them gopis, huh? What are you going to say to Krishna? And I tell the devotees that I'm not going to go. If Krishna's asking for me, I'm going to bring my spiritual master. And I'm going to put him in front of me. And then I'll go to see Krishna. Because Gurudev, he has the adhikar, he has the right for that. And in his association, I can come before Krishna. Because that's my connection with Krishna. Gurudev is sambandha data. He's a person who gives my sambandha. So we may have that desire, but we should act in a way that Krishna will want to see us. Okay? Vaisheshika, do you want to add anything else to Satyadev Prabhu? Okay? There's just some announcements. I guess it's time now. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakta Binda ki, Gaur Premanande Hari, Vancha Kalpadarubish cha, Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva cha, Paditanam Pavani Vaishnavi. Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.